Well, thank you for that good singing. We have missionary family with us, and I'm going to ask Brother Carlos to come here in a moment, and he's going to tell us about their ministry. They have a Spanish-speaking ministry, particularly to the South American countries that are Spanish-speaking, but also into the U.S., and also try and make inroads into Canada, finding communities that have a Spanish-speaking population. They were at Pastor Ben Turner's church in Burnaby here a couple weeks ago, and they had a special Spanish-speaking service there and had, 20 people out, I understand? So, Spanish-speaking people, so that was good. So, ask you to come at this time and also tell us how to pronounce your last name. Appreciate you coming.
My name is Carlos Chacon. It is a blessing to be here, and I am from Chicago, Illinois, a town called Bartlett, Illinois, in the Chicago area, and my family is with me, my wife Mary, and she'll stand, my daughter Carla's 12 years old, and Celeste, she's 2.5 years old, and she wants to hurry up and get in the nursery. So we are so glad to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Vall, for allowing us to come, and also appreciate Pastor, or Brother Vall, also for the housing and the hospitality. Thank you for that. And this is our first time coming to Canada to visit churches, and I've been here for 2 weeks now in different places and just kind of getting acquainted with the churches and coming to introduce ourselves and to present our ministry. So we have a video, and our video talks about revivals and conferences. We started our ministry in the year 2001. I was saved when I was 15 years old. I was a teenager, and I started going to church by myself, so I was the first person in my family to receive Christ and to be saved. For many years throughout my teenage life, I went to church by myself, and then later my mother got saved, and she attends church now. My wife, she grew up in Mexico in a Christian family, and she received Christ when she was 15 years old, but she had grown up in a Christian home, and always at the age of 15, and 16 and 17 years old, and just throughout her teenage life, she's always been serving the Lord and a soul winner in her church and involved in helping even missionary teams and local villages and things like this. And so my wife studied in a Bible college in Mexico. I studied in a Bible college in Illinois. And so we met in the year 1999, and that we were married in 2001. And so we've been traveling, preaching, serving the Lord, and doing revivals, Spanish-speaking revivals and conferences and evangelism. And it is a ministry, a revival ministry. We have a tent. It's a 1,000-seat tent. In fact, we have two tents. So I keep one tent in Mexico, and I keep the other tent in the United States. And that way, the tents, you know, we have revivals in them. We invite sometimes several churches, and we go to villages in Mexico, different cities, and different places. And also, something that has developed through the years for us is through tent ministry is youth revivals, youth conferences, youth revivals, large gatherings where many churches come, and they will gather for youth conferences. And we're trying to teach them and preach to them about the Great Commission, about the need to reach their own country for Christ. So that's kind of the concept that we have, the strategy to train the nationals, to motivate them, to exhort them so that they can reach their own country for Christ. So I'm just, is the video ready? Do you think that it's ready to go? Okay, so we'll have the video now at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. question of my pastor, Dr. Eleanor Fernandez. I serve with the Pirates of Evangelism Conferences throughout Latin America. The gospel first came to Mexico in 1864. Many missionaries soon followed and started churches. The Pirates of Evangelism Ministry started having conferences across Mexico in the early 1980s. During this time, Mexico began to produce large soul-winning churches as well as national missionaries. Like in Mexico of old, many Central and South American countries already have the gospel, but they seem to be like a sleeping giant. Our desire is to target these countries through preaching, conferences, training, and motivating the nations. By doing so, I believe we can wake up the giants. The conference approach worked in Mexico. We believe it will work in other countries. Fires of Evangelism is now focusing on the youth. Chispas in Spanish. These meetings have been held in Mexico, Panama, Ecuador, Peru, and the United States. Hundreds of teenagers have surrendered to full-time ministerial service. They are the pastors and missionaries of tomorrow. It only takes a few sparks to start a blazing fire. If we can train and motivate the nationals to reach their own countries for Christ, we can fulfill the Great Commission much faster and also more cost-efficient. God has given us two big tents for revivals and conferences. Each tent seats 1,000 people. The one tent stays in Mexico, the other tent stays in the United States for meetings. There are many travel expenses to preach abroad. There are many vehicle repairs and maintenance costs. Do you have a plan to reach the Spanish world for Christ? We have a plan and a strategy. I invite you to join our efforts and support our ministry. We need your help. We are not only seeking supporting churches, we are seeking ministry partners. Your monthly giving will help keep this evangelist on the road. My wife speaks to women and ladies' meetings. My daughter sends special music in the churches. Together, we serve God as a family. Thank you so much. Please pray for the Chacon family.
So our ministry of revivals and conferences is to target the Spanish-speaking countries. There are 22 Spanish-speaking countries, and the gospel came to them about 150 years ago. So the Spanish world already has the gospel. They have churches, they have nationals. I'm not saying that everybody's saved. We certainly need more preachers and more churches. But at least they have a gospel witness in most of the Spanish-speaking countries, even from a long time ago. So through the generations, sometimes some things can be lost. Sometimes the pioneer missionaries, when they when they pass off the scene, when they go to heaven, you know, the next generations that come, sometimes things can be lost. Sometimes the passion, the vision, the purpose of why we have a church can be lost. And so our job as an evangelist, as a conference ministry, is to remind them, to encourage them, to motivate them. The Bible talks about the ministry of exhortation. So just to help get some of them back on track. Sometimes we get, we can get sidetracked. And so the conferences are to remind them, to bring a revival, to encourage them to do the Great Commission, to be a witness, and to have the right doctrine as well, to have the right practice, the right doctrine, and all these things, to embrace Baptist distinctives and things like this. And so that is the nature of our conferences. So it's a way to wake up a sleeping giant, is what I said in the video, the way that I put it, to wake up a sleeping giant. The gospel is there. They have nationals. They have churches. You know, Mexico was receiving missionaries, and Americans and different missionaries would go to Mexico for many years, even for 120 years, to give the gospel. And it seems like they were doing a great job doing a pioneer work. But the Mexicans were slow in getting the vision. A lot of Mexican people were slow in getting the vision and just, you know, becoming a sending country. But now, after so many conferences, so many years, and so many revivals, and so many, you know, preachers taking the same message from the 1980s till today, is about 36 years later. Now, the message has caught on. So basically, the message was, the God of the United States is the God of Mexico, and he can do the same thing. The God in English is God in Spanish, and he has power in English. He has power in Spanish. So basically, that is the message. And the Mexicans have taken that. They have responded to that. They have taken that challenge and saying, that's right. That's true. What God has done in other places and other countries, he can do among the Spanish-speaking people. So this revival began in the 80s, in the 90s, to try to, you know, reach more people, to plant more churches, and to just get on track and see what, you know, what we believe in our doctrines and all these things, and reaching people, doing the Great Commission. And now there are Mexican missionaries in different parts of the world. So there are many Mexican men trying to raise support in the United States, and they raise support in Mexico. And it's just, you know, it's just a good thing, a good situation, where Mexico is now sending out missionaries. But there are other Spanish countries in Central America and South America that still haven't caught that message or that vision, still haven't quite, they receive missionaries and they have the gospel, they have churches, but they're like Mexico was before. They're a little bit slow. And so now that we have seen that the conference approach worked in Mexico, now we're trying to imitate that same pattern and the same process into those places in Central America and South America. So we call this a ministry of training the nationals, to train them to teach their own country for Christ, to tell them to take up the leadership in their country and reach their people, their own people, for Christ. So while we do this strategy of training the nationals, I have developed a strategy where in our conferences, where we reach out to the young people, teenagers, youth revival, youth ministry, youth conferences. So now we're reaching out to young people, teenagers. So now we're having teen rallies and teen conferences, youth revivals, where we can give them the same message. And if they can get it when they're young, you know, when they're 16 years old, 17 years old, if they surrender, if they make a commitment, if God calls them to preach and to be a missionary and to be a pastor, if they surrender, they're going to be tomorrow's pastors and tomorrow's missionaries. They're going to be a young adult in just a matter of just a few years. In 5 years, a young person of 17 years old can be 22 years old. They can be married. They might be graduated from a local Bible institute in their church. They might be already a young pastor starting a church. And so when we have large numbers of these young people surrendering to full-time ministry, that's a lot of future pastors. That's a lot of future missionaries reaching their own people in their own tongue, in their own language, in their own culture. So it's a way to do the Great Commission a lot faster and a lot more cost efficient. And so now that is our strategy, if you will. That is our our concept, our strategy, training the nationals, motivate them, encourage them. But now I want to show you the Bible principle behind it. See, that is kind of our ministry philosophy. But now let me show you the Bible principle behind this, where we see this in the scriptures. Notice, please, in the Word of God, if I'll just take a quick moment here, part of our presentation to show you two or three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read a verse that shows the Bible principle behind our conferences and our ministry to travel, to take conferences to the Spanish world, to teach them, to train them, to motivate them. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the Bible says, notice in verse 5, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" We know that the preachers are given by God. The Bible says, "And he gave some evangelists and pastors and teachers." So it says the Lord gave to every man. Verse 6, who it says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So a lot of pioneer missionaries did the planting. They did the church planting. They did the sowing the seed and the planting. A lot of pioneer missionaries went before us in previous generations to do the hard work and the task of planting. That's like Paul, what he's saying, "I have planted." But then it says, "Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." So now we see watering. That's what the Bible principle is behind our ministry. It's the Apollos watering principle. What does it mean? What does it refer, Apollos watered? Well, it sounds to me like he came behind where Paul was. Everywhere Paul the apostle was, it seems like later on, Apollos would show up. We could see that. We could read that in the scriptures. We know that Apollos was in the Corinthian church. He was in Ephesus, and we see that. So even Paul recommends in a different scripture, he said, "Listen, I want you to receive Apollos. I want you to get to know him and receive him." But he is saying here, he's saying it doesn't matter who influenced your life, who reached you, Paul or Apollos. It's God that does the work. It's God that gives the increase. So Paul has planted, Apollos watered, but it says God has given the increase. And notice something interesting. Verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Look at verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." Do you see this? So the watering ministry, I believe it's referring to refreshing the churches, reviving the churches by the water of the word. It's like a plant. You have to have water. You have to have rainwater or water to refresh the plants so that they can grow and they can live. And you have to have sunlight and water for a plant to be healthy and to grow and to produce. And so that's why the Bible says here, Paul said, "I have planted. I did some of the pioneer work and the church planting. And now we got somebody like Apollos that is coming behind and visiting probably the same churches, watering these plants, watering these churches." The Bible says about Apollos that he was mighty in the scriptures and that he was fervent in spirit. And so he was, obviously he had a ministry to encourage, to motivate, to exhort. The Bible talks about the spiritual gift of exhortation. So we see this, and it's interesting that it says, "He that planteth and he that watereth are one." In other words, we're working in the same work of the Great Commission. We're working in the same plan of reaching people for Christ. We're working in the same plan of doing the Great Commission. We're working for the same gospel work. "He that planteth and he that watereth are one." So maybe the church planter, the missionary founder of a church, and the evangelist who will later visit, the Bible says they are one. They are working in the same plan. Now let's notice, this is what Paul says, but let's notice something similar that the Lord Jesus says. Notice, please, in the Word of God, John chapter 4. Notice in John chapter 4 in the scriptures, in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and we could see in John chapter 4, and notice verse 35, John 4:35, something similar that the Lord Jesus mentions to us in John 4:35. The Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Notice verse 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Do you see that? So it's referring, Jesus is saying, somebody was sowing, and now somebody else is reaping. But the Bible says that they might rejoice together. If you notice in the next scripture, verse 37, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Now this, I believe it's referring to John the Baptist, because in the last chapter, John chapter 3, we see that they come to John the Baptist and they mention to him and say, that person you gave witness to, the Lord Jesus, he's baptizing more people than you, and he's even reaching more people than you. But what did John say? What was his response? He's saying, listen, I rejoice. He said, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He's saying, listen, I did my part. I did my part in doing the sowing, if you will, in preparing the way and preaching the gospel and doing the pioneer work. I did my part. So John says, my joy is fulfilled. He said, I rejoice with Jesus if he's baptizing a lot of people. I rejoice. We're one. John understood what Jesus is saying. He's saying, he that planteth, he that watereth are one. He that soweth, he that reapeth are one. And so this is the Bible principle behind. And so I've come now to Canada to come and get acquainted with the churches and to share what is happening and the good news of revivals in the Spanish-speaking world. You know, the Spanish countries are so open to the gospel. Not every country is like this. There are some places where maybe because of Islam, maybe because of communism, maybe because of different situations, there is a closed door to the gospel. But do you know that in the Spanish countries, it is an open door in this generation? You know, Mexico used to be a very hard country where it was so Catholic. It was 96% Catholic, and it was so hard. Many years ago, you would go to a village and preach and maybe even get thrown out by the authorities or people, you know. But now, Mexico has changed a lot through the years. And now it's like 80% Catholic. So that percentage is a big percentage when there are millions of people in the population. It is an open mission field, Central America and South America. So now the message is that this worked in Mexico. Now we're going to South America, places like Ecuador, places like Peru, places like Chile. Now we're going, it's a little bit farther, a little bit harder to get there and a little bit more farther, and can't go as often as we would to Mexico. But we're trying to reach out to them and try to go to them. And now the message is to them is saying the God of Mexico is the God of Chile. What God has done in Mexico, he can do in Chile. He can do in Ecuador. The God of Mexico is the God of Peru. So now we're trying to, you know, give them that message. And they're hungry for it. They're interested in it. They want it. They say, we want God to work in our country. What do we need to do? And we tell them, you need to reach your own people for Christ. Train your own workers. Start your own churches. Your church is not just receive the gospel, not just receive missionary support, but your churches start to contribute and give missionary support. Start sacrificing and giving and doing what the Bible says, and start preparing young people, training your own workers. And now, so that's beginning, you know, that's beginning to start to, they're starting to get the message. They're starting to understand. They're saying, oh, that's right. That's what has happened in other places. And the same thing can happen in their countries. So it's a way to say, you know, you have the gospel, you have churches, but we have to use the gospel. We have to preach the gospel. You see, it's what you do with the gospel. You have to preach it. How shall they preach except they be sent? How should they hear without a preacher? And so we're trying to encourage them to say, you have the gospel, but it has been dormant. It has been asleep in your country. So our ministry is an exhorting ministry. To exhort them, to encourage them, to say, to show them from the scriptures, and by the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, to try to encourage them and motivate them. You know, I was in Chile in the month of December, and we're taking this message to them and having conferences. They come from the north and from the south to the middle of Chile where we have our conference. I told them the country of Chile receives the gospel. They have national pastors and churches, but they really do not send out missionaries. Chile is the most prosperous country in all of South America. They should be sending out missionaries and doing, but they don't have this vision quite yet. So our conferences, we're trying to teach them, encourage them, and motivate them. In this last conference, we had 30 young people come and surrender to full-time ministerial service. That's where the young people are saying, I want to serve God. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. Here I am, Lord, send me. And so these young people, Chilean national young people, they're nationals, they're Chilean, they're from their own culture, their own language now. This means that they're going to be tomorrow's pastors, tomorrow's missionaries, tomorrow's church planters in their own country. So they're teaming up with us. They are partnering with us. We're all one. The Bible says, he that soweth and he that reapeth, is they might rejoice together. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. So we're working in one thing. That is the Great Commission. That is the gospel. That is the message and the plan of salvation. So I am very excited. Thank you so much, church. And so I invite you to pray for us. We have a display in the back, and I do have prayer cards, and we'll say more about our ministry. Thank you so much, Pastor.